Mike Papantonio, thank you for speaking with us today.
My pleasure. Thanks for the invitation.
Now, as I understand it, this is your seventh book and your second legal thriller. Tell us about Law and Vengeance.
Well, Law and Vengeance is based on a real case that actually I handled here in this law firm, just as the first book, Law and Disorder, was also based on actual cases that our law firm handled. And the setting is around a weapons distributor, weapons manufacturer, government contractor in a big way. Most of their sales went to were sold to the government. But they manufactured a sight, a gun sight, a hologram gun sight that was defective. And the government, as very often happens, had every reason to understand it was defective, but ended up buying it anyway for political reasons. And it ended up causing some deaths in certain settings because the hologram gun sight was designed in a way to where you were supposed to simply point and shoot. And that was the advantage of it, that was quick recognition, and the timing on it was extremely important. So that's kind of how they sold it, and that's what the book is about primarily.
Again, it centers on the fictional law firm of Bergman Decatomas, which is located here in the Panhandle.
Correct. That's right.
Tell us a little more about this firm. Is it also kind of sort of based on the Levin Papantonio firm?
Well, I think, Sandra, the best way to put it is there are parts of the book that are really composite. But if I were to say, let's describe the Bergman Decatomas law firm, yeah, it's very close to what we do. They handle national cases and very complex cases, everything from complex pharmaceutical cases where a drug company has created a product that's caused death or injury, to some of the biggest environmental cases in the country where a corporation has polluted an airway or a waterway, and in the end, people have ended up suffering from cancer or various kinds of diseases related to that chemical. And so those are the types of things. Yes, we do handle those. We handle the big Wall Street cases. And the Bergman Decatomas is about that. That's what they do. But it's also part of it involves kind of a compilation of what other firms do as well. So it's kind of an amalgam of all that.
Now, given your work as a trial attorney, host of your own syndicated radio show, co-host of Ring of Fire, what inspired you to take the time to start writing novels?
Well, I was a journalism major back in University of Florida. My major was actually news editing, which was a pretty tough major at University of Florida. And so it was heavily journalism, a lot of writing. I mean, as you know, the writing in a journalism, a top-notch journalism school is constant. I mean, you're turning out 2,000 words a day is not unusual. And so after graduating, I always wanted to continue that. I intended to come out and do foreign correspondence for, you know, some news outlet, but ended up going to law school instead. And in there, you know, when you attend law school, you kind of get a notion of that's not all you want to do. There's other things you want to do to kind of round out your life. And when you come out, so often, if you're not careful, you end up going to the office and, you know, drinking out of the same coffee cup every day, and not much changes. And it's a very dangerous thing, especially when you're in a profession that requires that you have to think in terms of different ideas, different cultures, sometimes different languages, and always remain as innovative as you can. So writing does that for me. I mean, the cases we handle are literally the biggest cases in the country, everything from tobacco to, well, right now we're handling most of the big opioid litigation in the United States. So to go to the office and say, well, this is all I do, I think actually detracts from your ability to think as a creative attorney. And so I started writing very early. I started off with motivational books for lawyers. The first one was In Search of Atticus Finch. And that evolved into Resurrecting Aesop, which was also a motivational book for lawyers. And then I always thought, well, you know, I'd like to take all these cases that we handle are so remarkable. When you sit down and have a cup of coffee with somebody and say, let me tell you what we're working on, it is just always a kind of a wow factor that the other side gets from it when you're telling the story. And so many times, I can't even count the times that somebody said, well, you know, you really should reduce that to a book. And I think they intended maybe a nonfiction, but fiction is the better way to tell these stories, because sometimes, honestly, fact is far stranger than fantasy in the legal practice, you know, so many days.
Well, now this book is a legal thriller, and it has all the elements: murder, intrigue, collusion, politics. Discuss the research for the book. I would imagine it goes beyond the courtroom.
Well, most of the interesting thing about it, Sandra, is most of the legal aspects of it kind of write themselves. If I'm talking about, for example, the first book was a book that was taken off of the concept of the Yaz litigation, where you had young women dying between 18 to 30, and they were taking a birth control pill. So the research usually goes to me going back and looking at the early pleadings, looking at my depositions, looking at the products that came out of that. The same way the first book was involved the HIV contamination case, where you had Bayer Corporation that had contaminated medicine for hemophiliacs that was supposed to stop bleeding for hemophiliacs, coagulate the blood. And they understood that it was infected with HIV. So that was a case we handled. We actually succeeded in getting it taken off the market in the United States. And what the company ended up doing was selling the rest of their product rather than destroying it. They sold it to companies all over the world. Those are pretty important cases. So, you know, you take a look at that and they kind of write themselves when you go back and kind of relive what happened. So it's not a typical kind of problem where you have to Google something or you have to do an immense amount of research because you've actually lived that most of the book. Most of it is there.
Okay. Tell me about the character Gina.
Well, Gina Romano in the first book was actually a criminal defense lawyer who defended Nick DeCotomas when he was accused of murder. But it wasn't a big role. It was a role that, you know, here you had this incredibly talented trial lawyer that was a composite. You know, she was a composite creation even in the first book, and it was actually borrowed from many people that I've met and I've done business with over the years, and I tried to take some of the best qualities of those people and add a few barnacles to them, and that's how I created Gina Romano. And so I thought it was important to put her as a lead protagonist in the second book, because really for a lot of reasons right now in the practice of law, there's this discussion that we've been awful where it comes to protecting women in the practice and giving them the same opportunity that a male counterpart might have. They have a glass ceiling, especially in trial law, and it's simply wrong. And I explore that a little bit in the book. And Gina Romano is somebody that, you know, if you're male lawyer, trial lawyer, female trial lawyer, whatever, you would not want to be on the other side of the table with her, because she is exactly the prototype of female trial lawyer that I've worked with and against, that I've been so impressed with. And I just think it's important in the legal profession, especially. I mean, we're this profession that's supposed to be so forward-thinking and progressive, and here we are, you know, in 2017, and women attorneys don't have the same access that males do, and that's a problem. You know, that's all through the book. I don't beat you over the head with it, but I think if you read it carefully, you kind of understand that theme.
Now, give us your best pitch. Why should we want to read your book?
Well, I think there's a lot of reasons. First of all, it's really entertaining. I mean, it genuinely is. You know, sometimes, Sandra, you write a book and you go back and you read it, you know, after it comes out, you read it, you know, 3 weeks later, and you go, wow, it really was entertaining. And so I think you have to begin by saying, can I sit on a beach and read this book in a couple of days and not want to put it down? I think the answer to that is yes. I'm not blowing smoke here, but I think the answer to that is yes. But hopefully there's another aspect of it. Hopefully as you're reading, you're learning things that maybe you didn't know. Maybe you didn't know that the Department of Justice they're so dysfunctional, or the FDA has been captured by corporate America, or the SEC is simply an extension of Wall Street. Maybe you don't know these things until you read them in the setting of a fiction book. And then you ask yourself your question, wow, did that really happen? Is this really true? And if you take a minute, you understand that it is true. So you come away, I'm really convinced you come away being entertained by both books, Law and Disorder and Law and Vengeance. But at the same time, hopefully you come away understanding something that maybe you didn't think about. You know, Sandra, there's a huge problem where it comes to corporate media. The typical corporate media vehicle doesn't tell stories like the stories that are told in these books. And I know that firsthand because, as you know, or may not know, I've worked in media as a contributor, Fox News, MSNBC, CNN. I now have a show called America's Lawyer on RT. And I've been around the media for 20 years, and some of these stories, there's no way a producer would let you tell these stories because the advertisers simply won't let them do that. You know, if you've got Bayer Corporation that's spending $10 million a year advertising aspirin, it's very difficult to tell the story about Bayer creating a product that might be killing young women between 18 and 35. So out of that experience for so many years, I thought it's important to tell some of these stories that people simply will never hear the backstory on. They just won't.
Now, I understand that there will be more books to come in this series about the Bergman Dicotomis Law Firm.
That's correct. I'm working right now on a book called Law and Addiction. It's about the opioid crisis in the United States. We've been hired by counties and cities in Ohio, Kentucky, Alabama, West Virginia, you name it. We've been hired all over the country to handle these cases where the opioid industry dumped billions of pills in counties where addiction was inevitable, to where they understood that they had clear knowledge that the pills were being used in a way that was far beyond what a doctor prescription would be. They were used in pill mills. The diversion issue on the street was remarkably high. And now we have I think last number I saw is 120 people a day dying of overdoses from opioids. So it's an intriguing story. I mean, once you start understanding the backstory of the opioid crisis, you go, how could this possibly happen in the United States? But it did. So that's being built into a fiction story as well. And it's a fun story to tell because when you run some of these facts by people and you say, well, this really happened, you actually had distributors that sold 750 million pills in a county where there were 3 million people. So they hear that and they go, wow, that's startling. And it's not something that you hear from corporate media. For so many years, corporate media sat silent on this because the manufacturers, again, were spending so much money with NBC, ABC, CBS. You know, the manufacturer was Purdue and three others. The distributors were, you know, McKesson and some of the bigger companies. That the advertising money was so big for corporate media, these stories were never told until finally they had to tell the stories.
And when do you expect that one out?
That'll be out the same time next year.
All right, very good. And for this book, Law and Vengeance, it's now available in bookstores, and you have an event coming up this weekend.
Yeah, I'll be at Barnes & Noble signing books, so come by.
All right. Well, Mike Papantonio, thank you very much.
Thank you, Sandra. Appreciate it.